Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Good. Yes.
Yeah, give me Australia's score though. That's what I'm really interested in.
Who you want? Australia versus England?
England.
In the Ashes.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let me check that for you shortly. I will give you that. The score I have here. England are 67. That's the figure I have. 67.
Australia.
Sorry. Hold on. Let's see. Sorry, that's a different game. Hold on. I'll get 85 back to
for now. 3.
85 for 3.
Oh, okay.
85 for 3. We don't have so much cricket playing at the moment. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, I listened to the gentleman just now called the Barbarous Light and Power.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, I think we need to give them a chance to rectify whatever situation they are going through at the moment. Because as a service provider over the years, I find that they were very outstanding to their customers overall. And I could tell you that in my district, which you would know, that we get outage, just one outage in every three or four years. And I think that's outstanding, outstanding record that they has as far as service providing is concerned. So that's why I believe that we need to give them a chance to rectify whatever issues they are going through. But then what I really call you about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a statement recently coming from the Minister of Environment concerning the grass and tree trimmings and so on.
Yeah.
Now, you know that we going through a serious drought, not only this year, but last couple of years ago, we was experiencing this problem. And I believe that some smart person or even a sanitation authority could run with a suggestion that I'm going to make. Now, we have farmers in this country who suffer because of the drought as well in getting hay or whatever for their livestock. I believe that someone can pick up what I'm going to say now, huh? Whereby you can get some land from the government, because we have lots of land that is allocated for agricultural purposes. Get the grass, get the sanitation, either pick up the grass or someone can pick up the grass after being given this piece of land or renting, leasing, whatever, to this individual or sanitation department itself. You could grade this grass, bale it, and throughout the years, including drought periods, this thing here can be sold to the farmers. Because they're experiencing serious problems now, even with the grasslands, when it comes to grazing their animals. You don't think that would be a good idea?
Any idea is worth examining and worth trying out. But at the end of it all, you need other people to see that as something that they can make a profit out of it. People are not going to go and get involved in something that will ultimately lose them money. If they're starting to lose money, they're going to come out of it. So you got to look at the feasibility of that.
But I honestly don't feel you could lose on that matter, because like I said, right now we're experiencing problems with water. And to be honest with you, I think it can get worse next year. It should be worse. I honestly believe this thing is going to improve in a hurry.
But if you know that the issue here is, what are the steps that people need to take now, so that when next year comes, we won't be scrambling in the way that we are now. I mean, this weekend, the Water Warriors are going to be out in Chimborazo in St. Joseph, trying to assist people there. I mean, we did this back in 2017, and we have to do it again this year. And the real issue here is, and since then, how many people took steps to try to reduce the potential impact of the drought on the availability of water? Or did we operate in the typical fashion that says, you know, the government will fix it at some point in time, or we won't deal with it right now, and when the pressure starts to come, then you say, but the government has failed us. That's what we do.
But you know what I mean? This all come about because of climate change as well, David, and droughts will continue. And as I said, I believe it's going to get worse. So I think rather than just complaining, people need to take steps, as you know, outline, to see what measures they can put in place.
Well, at the individual level, people can do things. First of all, there are a lot of people who have built homes that have the capacity to store rainwater. The problem is that there are many people who do not use the water. Because if you look around Barbados, you know there are a lot of people who just have concrete around their homes.
Correct.
They don't want anything to plant. They don't need the grass, anything like that. So a lot of people are sitting on that kind of water. Those people who do not have it then have to look at how you're going to trap the rainwater coming off your roof so that you can keep that and use it for in the toilets and to wash cars and that sort of thing. But there has to be a consistency associated with it. You can't believe for 1 minute that once the water comes back, if you suppose we get a lot of rain now and 3 months from now, you can abandon the idea of banning the use of water in certain circumstances. You go back to life as normal, as usual, and you don't have a care about it until next year comes. That's well, where we are.
Yeah, that's the problem that people are experiencing right now, David. But I think very later, I'm sorry, Water Authority come on the program, Sandy, they need to spell out certain, I mean, they need to educate the populace concerning these matters. Because, as I said to you about the drought, I mean, the water, but due to the fact, sorry, again, distracted here by something. Due to the fact that we have these droughts now, David, in this period, I honestly believe, and everybody should know, that the enough rainwater is not going to aquifers. So therefore, you will find Water Authority eventually, which they already started, will have to stop pumping water. Because I heard someone from Barbados Water Authority say that salt were being pumped, and they had to turn off some of the pumps. So if the drought continues, I believe a lot more pumps will have to be turned off, so we can experience a serious problem if you're not getting water to the aquifers. So I think when they come on the program, Sandy, they need to spell out all this to the listeners. That's all I have to say to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes. Well, you know, for us here in Barbados, there are a number of concerns. This person says here that they live in the area of Kendall, Ashford, in St. John. And that they have been seeing an increase in the number of large trucks transporting heavy loads from nearby quarries to building sites in St. George. They say the route being used is a narrow and winding one, not ideal for large, lumbering, fully loaded trucks. This is what they're asking for. They are appealing to the owners of the trucks to ensure that their drivers understand the dangers that they pose to other road users. The writer says that they are driving too quickly and taking up the entire road most of the time. This is a major accident waiting to happen. Again, it is an appeal to these drivers of these huge trucks that are transporting heavy loads from the quarries in the Kendall Ashford area and other parts of St. John to building sites in St. George. The speed that you're traveling at and the space that you're taking up in the road is seen as a danger to other people using the road. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Mr. Ellis?
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, so India Ellis, all out for simple. 297. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, a simple solution to this water problem. It is so simple, it'd be amazing. Now, all the government building and the government industries where they have the factories, just like how you have the houses at Ainsville and various areas down in St. Peter, they have, with the sewage system, all the pipes lead to one place where it goes into that disruption of sewage system. Why can't the government buildings or the government or people with large building the roof capture the water, or do they put it into big tanks? They could be treated it and then filter it to the aquifer, and then they would still treat it again to come out back to the tank. Because the water runs off of the roof, goes into the sea, damage the coral. Why can't they capture this water and channel it, just like the pipelines they have channeled to people, or channel it in certain areas right to the aquifer? Let it go into the aquifer, and from there it filter back out to come out. Because I notice when the rain falls, people believe it is better to drink the water from the aquifer. Where this water falls in the earth, it washes off the dead, the barren ground, and everything goes into the gully and then goes into the aquifer. It is plain. But I could drink the rainwater. It is simple. It is more, to me, it is more purified. And it's so simple. Why they can't use that idea? Why? It's amazed me to see that you have these bright people and simple things they can't think about. There are thousands of gallons that come off of the roof, and that is clean water. That is so clean water, goes into a big 4-inch, 6-inch, 12-inch pipe, and then filter off to the aquifer. Isn't that so simple to do? To allow the water to run down from St. Peter right down to the sea?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea. And I think what you need to do is to, you know, take advantage of all the opportunities that exist in that regard. So perhaps the authorities who are listening to you will factor that into their plans if they haven't already done so. We're going to the regional roundup next. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, this is Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes,
I'm calling about a concern that I believe that should be brought in the public domain in terms of discussion. There is a shortage of nurses in Barbados, yet the community college has turned down a whole set of applicants with respect to that program, although the nursing program is not full.
But why did they turn them down as an issue?
That is why. The way it is, and my understanding, that is my understanding, is that because of the large failure at the regional level, they have had interviews outside the application, because the persons who would have applied would have qualified, would have satisfied the academic qualifications or criteria. And yet, what they're saying, that sometimes they had to re-examine it in light of the large number of failures at the regional level. Now,
so that would mean that they would have to be re-examining the criteria for selection,
for
a combination, the selection and the program itself.
My view is, or that my position is that, look, if there is a fail at the regional level, there obviously has to be a shortfall in terms of something which the community college is.
Well, let me say to you that it is not difficult to anticipate that in trying to meet the demand for nurses in the country, we could find ourselves having lowered the bar somewhat when it comes to...
I agree, but if you say that the community, if the program says that you should have X amount of qualification, and you reach that, yes, obviously you interview could say that you have the passion for nursing or not. But what I'm saying is that the large percentage of failures suggest to me that there is a disconnect between the program which the community college is producing and the regional program. There has to be some link.
Well, the other question that would have to be answered is, how peculiar is the Barbados failure rate when compared with what is happening to other countries? Is the failure rate for Barbados unusual, or is it consistent with what is happening to other Caribbean countries as well? All I do know is that you don't have any information. Right, precisely. So that's all I'm saying to you, therefore, is that some other questions need to be asked.
Yeah, but that's why I say it has to be put, because you're saying you have a tremendous shortfall. You're saying you want to bring people in from outside the region. You have people leaving school and the persons who are interested who reach the academic qualifications, and yet they are refusing entry in the program.
Well, one of the issues.
I think that you need to examine that.
Well, I agree with you that it needs to be examined. I don't know whether the ministry itself is looking at it, but it is one of the complexities associated with providing health care in Barbados and other Caribbean countries at the moment. It is at the core of why the government has been looking to a country like Ghana to see if it could help fill the void.
You have a large amount of school leavers. You spend millions of dollars in education. What you're doing, the same thing happens in all the Samuel Jackman, where you would have had, years before, you didn't have to have any CXCs to go to that institution. But now what you're doing, so I my concern is that you're marginalizing a whole set of young people who would have meet the academic qualification. And for one reason or another, rather than say, let the persons come in, let them, if they pass the exam and they continue, that is something that you could do to satisfy.
No, but seriously, if you are failing, if you have too high a failure rate at the regional level, you would be persuaded to review the entire program. And the first point of reference is whether the criteria that you lay down to enter the program is indeed acceptable. The next part of that is looking at the teaching that is taking place within the community college. So you would have to do both.
What you just said, David.
Yes.
Listen, you've gone into the program, you meet the requisite qualifications, then you have satisfied and passed the associate or the bachelor's degree, which means that there is no problem with you. The entrant, the applicant that has satisfied the criteria, he's gone through the program, he's passed what the college criteria for pass.
But the college criteria may be too low when matched against the regional.
Then look at it in that light. Look at it in that light and raise your teaching standards in terms of that. But if you say that these are applicants and you have a shortfall, young people make a play, and then what you're doing is reducing it and not giving the person the opportunity.
I do not really believe that people in an official position in Barbados will be cold-hearted towards the youth to the degree where they will just set about to frustrate them and deprive them of opportunity. I know that in many instances we see things that are far less than acceptable, but I don't see that coming through. What I would prefer, though, is to have that thorough examination. There are other aspects of this problem that need to be looked at as well. How many of our nurses who are trained by us are actually kept by us? Because I have spoken to people who've left nursing in the Caribbean and gone to the United States and England and have moved much further than they felt they would have been able to get in Barbados. The opportunities are considered to be greater. The money is far more attractive for many of them. And we can find ourselves also in a situation where a high ratio of the people that we are training are leaving these shores to go to the United Kingdom and the United States and Canada.
If that is the case, there's no problem with that. Produce the people. Produce them. My thing is that don't frustrate the entrance level.
Well, it depends upon how you look at the...
It looks at what you're producing them for,
because you can look at them for remittances from abroad and believe that that's fine. And then you can also be getting the remittances and still have a severe deficiency when it comes to health care.
If you have a deficiency, at Noxus in Barbados, and you have a program where you're going to say, okay, let me now provide a program to train announcers. You say that this is the criteria for the announcers. The announcers should have X or Y qualification. The applicants have X and Y. And yet, you know, you're saying, oh, all right, now you go further now. Rather than say, well, this are the applicants have satisfied the criteria, let them go through the program. If they fail the program, they fail. If they succeed, they will have satisfied the criteria of what we were said. My concern is that we are doing these things. We say we have a shortfall of nurses, yet the nursing program, you're refusing people to go in the program simply because you want to look good at the regional level.
Well, it's interesting that you should use the analogy of announcers, because it is quite easy for us to go in the direction of establishing that criteria for selection.
Mm-hmm.
The people will pass our program, but when they go on air, the listeners complain about all sorts of problems associated with them. I am telling you, because the truth of the matter is, as you well know, if you look at where we used to be and where we are generally,
correct,
hear a lot of that criticism today. And it happens not only in nursing, but across the board, we are having these concerns. Because we are trying our best to accommodate young people as best as we can and stuff like that. There's also, in some instances, the turnover rate can be high. And that in itself is a matter that is worthy of examination in all of these areas to say, look, why is it that so many people leaving? Why is it that we can't hold these people? Why is it that it appears as though...
But I have no problem with that, you know, David. Because what you're doing is producing people for and qualifying them. If the system embargoes because of the cannot accommodate them, they will have an opportunity to go elsewhere and work, just as we are saying to the Ghanaians.
Part of the problem with the thrust of what you are saying to me is that we can also run the risk of just churning out nurses and other people for the sake of sending them abroad, not paying enough attention to the standards. And we lower the standards with the passage of time.
The standard is the community college program, which you will say, well, look, if to get in here, you have to reach the standard.
Well, let me tell you, they got a program in Trinidad, something to do with engineering or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a problem, my recollection is that we had a problem with the school in Trinidad at UE accepting our students from Barbados after they had passed our standards.
Mm-hmm.
But others may feel that they are not, whatever we've put in place may not be good enough. And if you're facing a problem like that, then you have to review the entire process.
I agree with that. It means you can't just agree one aspect of it. You have to look at and scrutinize the program in its entirety. But what I'm saying is that when you say there is a shortfall, there are young people who want to go in, who have the requisite qualification. They apply.
Well, we've been through that already.
You
said your piece and I said mine. All right.
Anyway, I think it has to be looked at, because then your shortfall of nursing, you always have a shortfall, and you always looking elsewhere when you are then in a way frustrating young people in Barbados from getting a qualification and making something out of themselves.
I want to tell you that I got a lot of patients who are also frustrated by the poor nursing care that they get. You know, don't forget that, because at the end of the day, You're producing nurses just not just to get foreign exchange. Your first concept is that you're producing nurses to look after patients in Barbados and to stop people from getting bed sores and that sort of thing. All right? Because you want to have enough nurses to be able to have them turned on a regular enough basis to stop it. Let us not lose sight of the primary reason why we produce the nurses. The people are complaining that this money, this invalidity benefit that they were promised, they ain't getting it. People have apparently been turning up at Treasury or wherever else they're supposed to get it, looking for this invalidity benefit today. And the feedback that we are getting is that they are being left disappointed. Is the government going to say what is going on with this particular matter? Because promises have been made, and the people expect that the promises will be kept. And if those promises cannot be kept, then people expect communication as to what is going on. This is down to brass tacks.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Couple of things. The question of water, and I heard a significant party program today was discussing the fact about water storage and ongoing drought and so on. And I too suspect that it would probably, the drought situation will continue. But I remember as a boy growing up in St. Philip, all the cane fields had what were referred to as suck wells. And during the out-of-crop season, all of these suck wells, the men who would normally cut canes and so on, would then work cleaning these wells. And I remember some time ago Colin Hudson saying that if we do not, Dr. Colin Hudson, the late Dr. Colin Hudson, saying that if we do not get back into cleaning these suck wells that are located across the length and breadth of Barbados, and the cleaning of these wells facilitated the access of the rainwater into the aquifers, if we did not get back into that program, we were going to continue to suffer from water shortages. And I remember some time ago as well, there was also a rule, I don't know if it was made law, where if you were building a house of a certain size, a certain square footage, you had to include water storage facilities in that building, in that house. So I don't know if those things are happening, if those rules were enforced or what. Now, the last call I made reference is to nursing. There's a worldwide shortage of nursing. And the developed countries, USA, Canada, United Kingdom, even Australia, are on the hunt for trained nurses. I remember some time ago in Jamaica, the University of West Indies trained 20 or 22 nurses in specialties, critical care specialties and stuff like that. And an American organization came along and hired them. The next set of nurses who went into this specialty program were bonded to the tune of, I don't know, 200,000 Jamaican dollars or something. But another company came down and recruited these nurses and paid the bond to release them so that they could take them back to the States. There is a disconnect, though. There's something happening, and I agree that we need to really look at it, between the program at the BCC and the structure and the program as it relates to the regional exam. I understand that some 30% or 40% of the Barbadian nurses taking the exam, only between 25 and 30% pass. So it's too high a failure rate. And after spending 3 years to get an associate degree and 4 years to get a bachelor's degree through the BCC program, and then to fail at the regional exam the regional exam for nursing registration, to fail at that level, then there's something wrong. Because I figure if you go through a program for 4 years, you should be able to pass a regional exam if the two programs are meshing and the syllabuses and so on and the teaching are linked.
Now, this is something that would straddle Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education.
Yes, because the BCC falls under the Ministry of Education. And the Ministry of Health, and the Barbados Nursing Council is an agency of the Ministry of Health. So yes, it would straddle both ministries.
And given the urgency associated with increasing the number of nurses,
it is urgent. And the other thing is, I'm told that if you fail the regional exam 3 times. You can't sit it again. So there's some consternation among the graduate nurses when they take the regional exam and they fail the first time, and they take it the second time and they fail. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to them?
The big question is how do they perform when it comes to actual patient care?
there are not registered nurses, and therefore they can only be hired as nursing assistants, or are usually hired as nursing assistants pending the passing of the regional.
But it's not just the people who, it isn't just those who fail at the regional level. My question is, maybe you may well be in a position to give some feedback to this. I mean, everything over the years appears, it gets criticism that it is, many things have fallen from the standard that existed before. The real issue is, how far has the standard fallen as it relates to patient care? Because I would think that that is the first order of business associated with the training program. And let me make this point. While people are looking at the regional standard, there is also the standard that we aspire to and reach in the past when the nurses were trained, not at the community college, but through the Tercentenary School of Nursing.
School of Nursing.
Yes. And we have made some changes. Those changes were supposed to be for the better. But in many instances, there is no real review of the extent to which the changes have indeed made us better off or worse off.
Well, I mean, in any healthcare situation, whether it's a hospital or nursing home or whatever, patient care has to be paramount. And it would have to be the most important aspect of nursing. So, to me, any nursing program, whether it's at the associate level or at the bachelor's level or even at the master's level.
In the case of Barbados, who measures that on behalf of the patients? Who? Nobody.
I don't know.
Nobody.
That would be left up to the officials and the.
But you and I, we've been around this country long enough. I've never heard of any report coming from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital or the Ministry of Health or the Ministry of Education saying that we have done an analysis of where we have done, how we performed over the last year and this, or over the last 5 years. And these are the areas that we need to concentrate on.
I would like to think that there is some ongoing assessment going on, whether those results are made public or not. I would like to think that somewhere along the line, the director of nursing services at the QEH and his staff would file a report to the Ministry of Health as to what.
As a journalist, I never heard that any such report came before Parliament yet.
Well, I've never heard it either, and I'm not a journalist, so.
You know. So I'm only saying that in examining this particular area, I mean, once in a while you come back to it, but you can see these areas that stand out for more attention. They cry out for more attention. And this is one that, you know, people don't really seem to pay that much. They are not as concerned with it as perhaps they ought to be. It's nice, though, to hear you on this subject.